do you do this again? Where are your, what it is?
Oh, it's, oh, I think there. It's already, yeah.
You have to do the whole duplicate again, huh?
No, you can just close that, go on that screen and click as escape. Click there, click it once and then escape. Now, go back in and do that thing. Sometimes it just glitches.
Mm-hmm. You duplicate one?
Yeah. It also might be a setting on PowerPoint as well.
Yeah, I think it is. So when I do that, I think it just kicks it over.
Oh,
I forgot what we did last time we stopped.
It's,
that.
It's in PowerPoint, like that.
Right.
Slideshow.
Actually, I think he has a Surface too.
He does, yeah.
So now you have to do presentation.
You can see it, you know, like.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, inshallah ta'ala. I will start. So now we're back on Zoom now, inshallah ta'ala. So, anyhow, let's start back over the Mahdi that we're going over. Once again, so the Mahdi is a sign that's going to come of a person that will come. Oh, I have to scroll this down. Okay, oh, wow, we already have. Yeah, sorry. So the Mahdi is a person, a Muslim leader, a Khalifa, that will lead the Muslims and be righteous, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him. He will come right before the Dajjal, the Antichrist comes, if you will. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And when will he come? As we mentioned, one of the main things, he will come when the world is filled with injustice. So you could argue that's right now. You could argue that we still need to see that a little bit more. There's places where there is justice, right? You could say that we're getting close to that, right? We could all kind of debate these points. His name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So there's a hadith of the Prophet that said the Mahdi will have my name and his father, and you will have my father's name. Meaning that his name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Prophet's father was named Abdullah. Okay. And then one thing the Prophet mentioned in the hadith here, we're going to go over a lot of hadith today, kind of read them and going through them. So the world should not pass, and the world this is going to definitely happen, until a man from my people, of my family, rules the Arabs. So at that time we're just Arabs, so he's just talking about the people at that time, the Muslims, whose name will agree with my name. We're giving indications of who this person would be. Anybody who doesn't have this name, it's clear cut that this is not a false Messiah. This is a false, not Messiah, a false Mahdi, if you will. Someone who's lying, someone who's trying to have that time. We're going to go over this. There's some people that try to do this before and try to say they're the Mahdi, and they really weren't. We're going to have a big story about that at the end of the class.
The reference in the hadith to Arabs mean all Muslims.
All Muslims, yeah. That, for that time, we used the word Arab, he's talking about the Muslims. Yeah, a lot of scholars talk about that was a reference at that time. Yeah, that's the way he used it. His life will change and will be inspired and guided. So, one thing is that the Prophet said the Mahdi is one of us, from one from my family, one the people of my household, from the Quraysh, from the Prophet's household. Even though he's come at the end of time, the lineage will still be there. How do you know that? I mean, who keeps track of the lineage? Some people actually do. They know their lineage pretty well. But anyhow, he'll be from Prophet's lineage. Allah will rectify him in a single night. Yuslihuhu Allah bilayla. That in one night he'll get inspired. He'll turn his direction. What the scholars understand from this, that he was maybe was a practicing Muslim. Maybe he wasn't really into the religion, and obviously he gets inspired one night, like, you know what, we need to change. We need to do something about what's going on today. There's too much oppression, right? I need to make a change in my life. I need to go help the Muslims. And then he starts going that direction, right? So the thing was really interesting, you might see somebody today that might be a scholar or might know a lot of things. Right? Oh, this person might have good leadership skills, but maybe that might not be the Mahdi, because it could be that Allah changed them. So you never know, it could be somebody, a regular person. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I never thought it would have been that person, right? So that's kind of throws you off a little bit, but the Prophet's telling you that, well, the person that you're not necessarily there the whole time, maybe engaged in the religion as much or has an idea to change things, and all of a sudden he has that ability in his head now. He has this a mindset, if you will. His physical features. So the Prophet goes over a little bit how he looks like, right? And also, how long will be his reign? The Prophet said the Mahdi will be of my stock, from my shape, if you will, like my shoulders, my height, etc. He'll have a broad forehead, and he will have like a pointy kind of nose. Okay? He will fill the earth with equality or equity and justice, as it was filled with oppression and tyranny. So, meaning then, the world will be full of tyranny and oppression. And then he'll come at a time where he's going to reverse that. Okay? He's going to change the world. That means like world dominance. That's something to think about. And he will rule for 7 years. It won't take very long. That's a really quick change, if you will. So things will happen really, really fast. We'll talk about how that will happen. Okay? So here we know about it. He'll be there at least. Not that he will live 7 years. He'll just be in power for that 7 years. Okay? So exactly how old will he be when he starts that reign? Allahu alam. We don't have any hadith that mentions that. He'll be 33, he'll be 40, he'll be whatever the case may be. In a hadith that's regarded weak, and I kind of wanted to let you know, because when we talk about, and I probably should have started with this, there's a lot of hadith about the Mahdi. A lot of people like to say a lot of things about him. Now, the ones that are authentic or acceptable are not as much. But there's some that are weak that has a lot of good details too. Now, what is the ruling about that in terms of scholars? Scholars say that you could use weak hadith, as long as it's not extremely weak, to narrate when it doesn't involve, we say, belief. Okay? So, for example, there's a hadith that if you read a lot of Quran, Allah will give you more wealth in your life. That's not like going to change your belief in Allah, or you're going to say that I believe in the prophets or believe in the angels. That's just something to deal with virtues, right? Whether hadith is authentic or not, I'm giving this an example, right? So here, this hadith doesn't have nothing about like you must believe in the Mahdi, or you have to add another prayer to your five daily prayers. It's nothing to do with creed, if you will, right? But this one has some other interesting things in there. Well, so I put it there, but it's also always good to let you know that it has some weaknesses, so we take it with a grain of salt. The Prophet said there'll be a disagreement will occur at the death of a Khalifa. There's another hadith that mentions that a Khalifa, a leader, Muslim leader, will die, and three sons will fight over the reign. Three sons will fight over the reign. I know you guys are all thinking about the Saudi family right now, right? You think about, well, how much sons do they have, right? And who's going to get over when the father dies and he's, you know, quite sick and so forth. But a disagreement will occur at the death of a Khalifa, a leader. He's a Khalifa leader. And a man from the people of Medina will come flying forth to Mecca. So there's going to be a people here. And one thing is, some of the hadith don't mention the word Mahdi outright or explicit. They talk about a righteous leader at the top. So the scholars said this must be talking about the Mahdi. Allahu Alam. It could be talking about someone else. But they're trying to put pieces of puzzles together. That this is probably what they're talking about. So the Prophet said, when this happens, when the people are fighting over who's the next leader, some civil war or something going on at that time in a land, there'll be a person that's in Medina and he'll come towards Mecca. Why will he come towards Mecca for? Well, there's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever enters the Kaaba or enters the Haram, he is safe. There's no killing. You cannot kill that person. Even though they stole something, that you could take them, but you can't fight them, you can't kill them, etc. No war should happen out there. So something's going to happen where he's getting oppressed or someone's talking about him in Medina. So he just goes to the Kaaba. It could be that maybe he wants to pray, he wants to get closer to Allah. Maybe that, whatever the case may be, because of what's going on in the world. So he comes towards the Kaaba. Some people of Mecca will come to him and bring him out against his will. So he's there, he's just praying, and people say, hey, stand up. We want to make you the next leader. He says, no, I'm not the next leader. Please don't choose me. I'm no one. But against his will, they'll get him. And they will place him against the corner of the Kaaba, meaning the black stone, and the Maqam. The Maqam is Maqam Ibrahim. During the time of the Prophet, it was right next to the Kaaba. Now it's off, a little off, if you guys know what the Maqam Ibrahim. It's a little off, away from the Kaaba now. But they'll take him and they'll put him there, and they'll say, this is our next leader. You'll be like, I'm not your leader. What are you pointing me for? Sounds like one of those movies, right? When people point a leader, like the guy's like, I'm not, I'm a nobody, right? Same thing. They'll say, you're the next leader. An expeditional force will be sent against him from Syria. Okay. So this guy, picture this now. We understand this is the Mahdi. He comes from Medina. It's understood that he's from Medina. That's another sign. He's not from any other place in Saudi Arabia or any other cities. Sorry to all the Malaysians, sorry to all the Mexicans, sorry to all the one in Garden Grove. It's not going to be us. Okay. And all of us, our name has to be Muhammad ibn Abdullah, so our name is not Muhammad here, so anyhow, right? We have Muhammad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, maybe, but you're from India. Oh, just, sorry, you didn't make the list, right? But anyhow, we can still do stuff, anyhow. So he goes there, he's praying, whatever, and people start, they know him, they recognize him, as maybe he was involved in politics, who knows? It's kind of unclear. They make him the next leader. There's an army in Syria that comes and starts approaching the Kaaba. Either because they're mad, because people are calling him what? The Mahdi. Why are they mad for? Because every sect right now within Muslims or even other groups, they think the Mahdi is going to come from them. Okay. Unfortunately, this is maybe a bad example, but it's reality. There's a group called ISIS, as we all know. They thought they had the Mahdi and they're trying to prepare for it. Okay. We'll talk about the Shia, who are another sect of Islam. And what their concept of the Mahdi is. But they believe the Mahdi is going to come from them. Okay. So when someone says that we have the Mahdi and people are gathering, whether it's right or wrong, another group is going to be what? Insulted. They're going to be like, you know, you guys are lying. But this group coming from Syria, we all know what's going on in Syria these days. When the Prophet used the word Syria, he never used the word Syria because Syria wasn't a name that was there during the time of the Prophet. Use the word Sham. Sham is like Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan. It's like that whole region, if you will. You know, a little bit of Iraq, Saudi Arabia, etc. So there'll be an army there. We all know what's kind of going like in present-day Syria. We know what's going on in Palestine and so forth. A lot of dynamics are going on there, okay? So there's groups there, a lot of groups there. So one group is going to come down to Mecca because either they're really angry that they have the real Mahdi and this is a false one, or they're going to try to attack him. But when they'll be swallowed up in the desert between Mecca and Medina. So that's a clear sign. The army comes, the land will open up and swallow them down. And they'll just landslide, or not landslide, but some type of earthquake or something will happen. And that whole army will get ate up. As the Prophet said in another hadith, they would soon seek protection in the house. If I was going to talk about a person, will soon protection in the house, meaning the Kaaba. And defenseless people who would have nothing to protect them. People say, this is our Mahdi, but they don't have no weapons or nothing. They're just there. They think this is the next guy. And any strength of people. They don't have a lot of soldiers. An army will be sent to fight them, and they will enter into a plain ground, a place called Baida in Arabic. The Prophet said that they'll be in a place called Baida, and that area still exists today in Saudi Arabia. It's north of Mecca. Okay? They'll enter this, and they translate it as plain ground. But the word is Baida in Arabic. They'll enter Baida, and the army would be sunk in it. So let's go in. Okay. So this means there's multiple hadith about that talk about this. So this army is not the one that's going to obviously embrace him. They're going to try to fight him in Mecca, and they're going to go down. Things are getting really interesting here. So we got this person coming from Medina, goes to Mecca. You don't think he's the leader, but people say, next what? You're the next leader. They all acknowledge him that. That word spreads, internet, WhatsApp, who knows what's going on at that time, right? Word goes out really fast. Army in Syria comes down really quick to try to attack them in Mecca, and then they get eaten up. So a lot of things are happening here. This another hadith with some weakness in it. I want to put that out there. The Prophet said that some people will come from the east carrying black banners. Okay. So after this army gets eaten up, what's understood, and then, like I said, we're taking these hadith and we're trying to put a timeline together. This could be totally wrong, but some of the scholars said this is how it looks like it's going to flow, if you will. Some people will come from the east, which is, they say the word Khorasan, people say Iraq, people say Iran, people like to say Afghanistan now, what's all what's going on over there. They will ask for something good, they'll ask for khair, they'll ask for good, but will not be given to them. An army's going to come down. They ask for the good, it won't be given to them. Whether that's leadership or not, I'm Allahu alam what they're actually asking for. They will fight and they'll be victorious and they will be given what they want. Then they will not accept it and they will give leadership to a man from my family. Prophet said, from my family. Meaning who? Scholars talk about this. Maybe you talk about the Mahdi. Then they will fill it with justice, the world, as it will fill with injustice. Whoever amongst you lives to see that, let him go to them. even if he has to crawl over snow. So the Prophet said that what's understood here, the scholars said that the Mahdi will come out in Mecca, the people from Syria will come and try to attack him, that army will get swallowed up. Another army from the east will come. Okay, there's Iraq, there's Iran, there's of course Afghanistan, etc., all in Pakistan, this area here in the east. And they will have black flags. And see, everyone, every group tries to have black flags, so they all know the hadith. ISIS tried to have black flags also. We all know that they didn't succeed. They weren't the chosen group. Okay? Even in the past, the Abbasidian caliphate, they used to have black flags. Everyone tries to have these black flags. So they know the hadith, and they're trying to fit into the script of these hadith. And the thing is, though, when you try to take the hadith and make a movie out of it, this doesn't work. Allah will make it happen naturally. People try to set it up like this, if you will. That's what ISIS pretty much tried to do. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about them a little later, how it comes into some other hadith. So the army will come from the east, and the Mahdi will embrace them. And that will be now the Mahdi's army that will come. And he will use them, and he'll go on from there. Okay. That's an Ibn Majah. Now he'll be very successful. He'll have a lot of wealth. Prophet said there will be a Khalifa in the last period of my ummah who would freely give handfuls of wealth to the people without counting it. So Allah will bless him with a lot of abundance of wealth, whether it's because of natural resources, whether it's because people are giving him sadaqah and giving the zakat money to him now, because now he's a true leader and people are recognizing him throughout the world. All the Muslims will now send the money over there than other places. Allahu Allah. But he will have this type of wealth as a ability, if you will. His relationship with other nations. Now, this is what's really the last part. It looks like we've zoomed through this a lot faster than I thought. But well, now it's understood, and like I said, the hadith of the Mahdi is kind of choppy. After this army coming from the east, we don't really have anything else other than this main war that's probably going to happen. So the Prophet ﷺ talks about the Romans. Now, during that time, there was only the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. There was nothing called Europe. There was nothing called, England, etc., Russia. So the Prophet only could use terms that was known for the Arabs at that time. And the Romans were pretty much everything north of Saudi Arabia. We're talking about from Palestine all the way up to present-day Turkey. And their capital was anywhere. Anyone know where the Roman Empire capital was? It's called Constantinople, which is present-day Istanbul, right? And why it's called Constantinople? Because the leader was Constantine. He was a leader of the Roman Empire. So the Prophet said that the Romans will enter into a peace treaty with you, talking about the future. There's no Roman Empire anymore, okay? So to understand this hadith, they're like, hold on, there's no Roman Empire. How do we understand this? Well, the Roman Empire during the time of the Prophet stood for what? Christianity, pretty much. Okay. Now, where's the capital of Christianity today? Say, the Vatican. Yeah, even though that's more Catholics, right? The Protestants don't really have a capital like that I know of. Maybe you could say England or something like that. I don't know, right? But where would be today the modern day symbol of Christianity? Some people could say Europe. People of Russia is getting a little bit more Christian now than they were before. I think they're still far away from that. Some scholars try to say maybe it's talking about Russia at this time. Maybe they're talking about Europe at this time. Okay, different things. We're going to see what's going to be quite interesting in a little bit here. So the problem is the Romans will enter into a peace treaty. So maybe some Christian group or some Christian country or maybe Europe, the European Union or something, who knows? We really could talk about what we know right now today. Next 50 years, there might be nothing called European Union anymore. Who knows? But the Romans will enter through a peace treaty with you, okay, with the Mahdi. Then you and them will fight against an enemy, right? A common enemy. Oh gosh, who are that? Who do you think that is? It's hard to understand this. China, maybe? I don't know. Maybe some. Who else would it be? No countries in Africa really bother anybody, right? So who is this common enemy? Allahu Akbar. Okay. My guess is probably as good as your guess. But the Prophet said that the Muslims and the Christians will come together, fight against a common enemy. I don't think it's Israel. It's Israel right now. I don't think it's that. And you will be victorious. So they'll win together. Okay? And you will collect spoils of war and be safe. Then you will come back until you stop in a meadow with many hillocks. You come to a field and the army will rest there. A man from the people of the cross. See, that's the Romans, see? Yeah, the prophet calls them the people of the cross. Talking about the Christians. He will raise the cross up. And he will say, the cross has given us victory. This, like, Christ, Jesus has given us victory. And a man from the Muslim will be angry. You don't want to see that. So he'll go and he'll break the cross. There's always one person, you know, in the masjid that gets too rowdy, right? So someone there goes and he breaks the cross. After they have a treaty. Like, who's this guy that did this, right? Then the Romans will be treacherous. They'll break their treaty. They'll betray you. And they will gather for a fierce battle. And this fierce battle will be understood in Islam. It's called, in Arabic, we call the Malhama. The Malhama will be the equivalent of what we call Armageddon. The big, last, great war of the world. Okay, you could say World War III. Who knows what number we're going to be at by that time, unfortunately. But the Christians have this concept of Armageddon, which is a really, really big battle that will happen. So in Arabic, the Prophet calls it Malhama. The Prophet said, there'll be a treaty between you and Beni Asfar. Asfar means white. That's what you call the people, the ones who were very light-skinned, the Romans. But they will betray you and they'll march against you. And you will march against you with 80 banners, under each of which there will be 12,000 troops. Another prophet is describing this battle, okay? That they'll betray you and will march against you with 80 banners with 12,000 troops of each. That's 960,000 if you do the math. Who knows, the prophet is trying to give you a general number. But that's only 1 million. Okay? Even today, I don't think what happened in Afghanistan, what happened in Iraq, when the coalition forces came, I don't even think it was a million soldiers. Maybe it was, I don't know. But that's a really large army that's coming against the Muslims. And the Mahdi is going against them. Okay. That's going to be a really big, clash. It's going to happen. The Prophet ﷺ talks more about this battle. This is where the Mahdi kind of shines, if you will. The last hour will not come until the Romans will land at a place called Dabiq or A'maq or Dabiq. Dabiq is a place in northern Syria right now. The Prophet said that hour will not come until the Romans come in that area. An army consisting of the best soldiers of the people of the earth at that time will come from Medina and fight them. So the Romans, whatever that is, this Christian empire at that time, will come down to this place in northern Syria. Okay? So remember, we had a treaty with them, but we know the treaty broke, and now they're coming there to northern Syria. The Prophet said that the army of the best soldiers in the world of Muslims at that time will come from Medina and head over. Why? Because the Mahdi's capital is going to be where? In Medina. That's one thing that people say. There's another hadith where there's some weakness in it, where they said the Mahdi will have his capital in Jerusalem, in Palestine. Okay. It's kind of interesting. We all know what's going on in Palestine today. So here, this place called Dabiq is still a place currently right now in northern Syria. Just like I tell you, like, hey, we got these hadith here, and people like to try to see how we could usher the end of the world. And you know, when I talk about ISIS a little bit, you know, even though they're super misled and they need a lot of guidance, but they try to set up their army where? Exactly this place, Dabiq. That's where they went. They went to northern Syria, and they put their headquarters right there. Waiting for what? The Romans to come. No one came. And they're still, you know, they're on their last leg now, and I don't know what's going on with them. I really don't follow too much of the news about them at all. Okay. But see, they try to bring the Mahdi. They try to write a Hollywood script of a movie, and it didn't work out for them. And they end up killing more people than they probably should have. And then they'll arrange for themselves in ranks. The Romans will say, do not stand between us and those Muslims who took prisoners from amongst us. So the Roman army will look at the Muslim army and said that, do not stand between, hey, you Muslims, move away. We want to fight those guys over there. Meaning that there's other Romans, other Christians that became Muslim. And so we want to fight those. We have a more of an issue with them. Okay? Let us not fight with them. And the Muslims will say, nay, by Allah, we will never get aside from you and from our brothers that you may fight them. No, they're all our brothers. We're all one. You have to fight us too, if you will. So there's something about where there's a lot of conversion that's happening from Christianity to Islam somehow. Which is not somehow. I think we kind of know that's happening a lot. Okay. Then they will fight. The Prophet said that these two armies will fight. Okay, we're talking about like a million on one side. Who knows how much the Muslims have. They will fight, and a third part of the army will run away. Third part of the Muslim army will like, this is too much. I'm getting out of here. These guys have a million people or more. Who knows what kind of weapons they have at that time. Like, we're out of here. We're gonna get crushed. Allah will never forgive them. You can't run away from the battlefield if you're there. Okay? It's hard. I wouldn't know if none of us want to be in that situation, but that's just kind of the rules of jihad and rules of war. You just don't leave the battlefield. Then they will fight. Then a third of them, another third of the army, will be constituted of the excellent martyrs in Allah's eyes, and they will be killed. They're martyrs, obviously, they're killed. So one third of the army will go fight, but they'll end up getting martyred. Who's left? The last third. The last third of the army, the third who would never be put to trial would win, and they will conquer Constantinople. Now, this is an interesting hadith here. The third army, the last third that's still alive, they'll never be put to trial, meaning that they really won't fight. Why? Because there's another hadith mentions that they will make dua and they will say dhikr. They'll say Allah, ilaha illallah, and that will defeat the army. How do we understand that? Maybe the army, their other army just gets split up because of internal issues, or they get scared, or Allah sends angels down that, you know, that fight with them that during the time of the Prophet that happened. But they will be victorious, and they will be conquerors of where? Constantinople. What's a problem? Not really a problem. What's interesting about this hadith? Where's Constantinople again? When we just said it. Where's that at right now? Turkey. Who's ruling Turkey right now? Oh, so this is, can't be us fighting Muslims. So what does that mean?
At that time, Constantinople was kind of the headquarters of the West.
Right. And so at one time the Romans were owning Constantinople, and there was a person named Muhammad al-Fatih was a Muslim general, and he defeated the Romans, and the Muslims took over present day Turkey, Constantinople, and they turned it into a Muslim land a long time ago. But none of this happened what the Prophet said. And now Muslims have been in Turkey since a long time now. Okay. But it didn't fall out the way that the Prophet talked about, but there'll be times of this type of war. So what's understood, and this could be sad, and hu Allahu alam, but the Muslims will have to do what? Will have to lose the grip on what? On Turkey. That Turkey will fall, present-day Turkey, Istanbul is Constantinople, will fall, and some other Christian identity, the Prophet will call them Romans here, will take over that area. That is what some of the scholars look at. Allahu Alam, we're not trying to let Allah protect the people in Turkey, who are our brothers and sisters. We're not wanting bad for them, but we're trying to understand what's happening here. Because the Prophet was talking about this big battle happening in Constantinople.
But would it not make sense that at that time Constantinople was like a symbol for the Western powers?
That could be it.
Because we didn't have Washington or London back. Well, London we had, of course, at that time.
Interesting.
You know, because this was the power center of what was considered the non-Muslim world.
Mm.
So maybe, you know,
that's true. That's true. So we're getting really metaphorical here. Yeah.
Metaphorical.
People said, yeah, the Romans or the, you know, Rome at that time is a metaphor for the West, for Christianity, wherever that is. But then you also have that they're going to be in this place called David. So either the whole army, wherever it comes from, the U.S., wherever it comes from, England, comes and settles in that area, or they really are from Turkey and they come down, which makes sense because they're Syria and Turkey have the same border.
Well, Turkey is part of NATO.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you all know right now, the current government of Turkey is very, alhamdulillah, they're more on the Muslim side. They're not really selling out the Muslims. They even give rights, you know, they really talk about Israel, which a lot of countries, Muslim countries, don't. And they talk about how what they're doing. And so you wouldn't think this would happen, but some say it could happen that whether it's that's Russia coming over, and taken over that area, or some other country, Allahu Alam. Your guess is as good as mine. We have the hadith and we're just trying to understand it. We're just trying to understand. But every scholar that looked at this, looked at the view of the time that they're in. We look at the old books, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah will say, oh, this happened, this is going to happen with this empire. But we all look now and say, no, that wasn't it. But he only could talk about what he has during his time. But now this makes it very interesting when we know that Constantinople, which is Istanbul right now, is all Muslim. So this has to be Allahu Alam what's going to happen there. The Malhama again, another hadith the Prophet talks about. And as they would be busy in distributing the spoils of war, so after this whole war is done, the Muslims win, one third of the army is left. They get all the spoils of war, all the shields and army and guns and weapons, whatever they take it, animals, whatever they collect. They're giving it out to the soldiers, they hang up their swords by olive trees, usually that's in the Syria-Palestine area. Satan will say, Shaitan will call out, the Dajjal has taken your place among your families. They said, the Dajjal is here. Antichrist is here. He is attacking your families. And the whole army says, what? And they get up and they start going. And when they come out, they will come to Syria. Sorry, they will come out, but it will be of no avail. Meaning that it was a lie. The Shaitan tricked them. They come there and they'll find out there's no Antichrist here. And when they come out, when they come to Syria, they will come out and they will be still preparing themselves to battle, drawing up their ranks. And this hadith is long, so that's why I had it in two slides. I have another slide here. So meaning they're coming up, the Dajjal is not yet there yet. Okay. Another hadith here, kind of to put it together, what's kind of going on. Ibn Mas'ud, rahimahullah, in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, a very long hadith. I think it's two slides here also. Oh, okay, I only have one slide here. There will be a terrible fight and the Muslims will prepare a detachment, which they will not return to be victorious. So there's a part of the army goes out and they're not victorious. Okay, they get killed, they get martyred. Then they will fight until the night intervenes, that they'll take a break. Okay, they'll take a night, night comes, they'll take a break. Both sides will return without being victorious and both will be wiped out. Okay, there's a lot of people are gonna die. Muslims will again prepare a detachment to fight for fighting until death, so that they may not return, but victorious. A group comes out and they get victory. They end up dying, but they get the victory, if you will. The Muslims will be victorious. When it will be the fourth night, a new detachment will come and the remnants of the Muslim will be prepared, and Allah will decree that the enemy should be routed. So another army goes out and they fight. So it's talking about 4 days of fighting. Today, that doesn't seem that long, especially if armies are in countries for months and years, right? Then they will fight such a fight, the like of which they will not have been seen. This battle, this malhama between the Romans and the Mahdi army, is a fight that they've never been seen before. Okay, imagine what type of weapons are happening. So much that even if a bird were to pass over the flanks of the army, it will fall dead. What do you think that means? There's something in the air that even a bird is not on the field. You're not fighting. Birds is flying over this battle, but it will fall dead. Interesting that Prophet was talking about something like that during the time of the Sahaba. Well, this is Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, but it's understood that he got this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine the Sahaba is like, how do you understand that? Birds fly really high, right? So it could be nuclear war. We all know that mushroom clouds of a bomb is in the air. We have chemical warfare. We have something that's in the air. Something's in the air. Okay. Or it could be so much shooting or a gunfight in the air that birds get shot. Allahu Alam. Your guess, once again, is as good as mine. So much of the dead bird will reach the end of them and he'll fall down. There's another part of the hadith, and I guess I missed it. I end up pasting the same part of the hadith, where the Prophet says that out of a family of 100, you know, a family will go out with the Mahdi. Out of a family of 100, 99 of them will die and one will remain. So that means a lot of people are going to die. And one person left of the family. And the Prophet said, how will that person rejoice of their inheritance when there's no one to inherit? There's no one to give anything from. And he gets spoils of war, but he can't enjoy it with anybody. So meaning that this battle will be so, so grand in scale. That's what we call it, the Armageddon. People call it Armageddon, they call it the Great Battle. Well, this is what I understand the Mahdi will be leading at the end of the times here. Okay, I guess this is the last major battle. Then, this goes back to this hadith here, where here, when they go come back to Syria here, then it'll be told them that the Dajjal has come. He is now here. And the Mahdi, it's understood, it goes into that he'll go and he'll try to challenge the Dajjal. And that's going to make us go into the next segment of the first major sign, and we're going to cover this next week, is a description of the Dajjal, the Antichrist. After this main battle, the Antichrist will come and he will cause corruption. The Prophet said that he will enter into every household, every city. Remember, the Mahdi's there at the time. So either he's going to lose power and he has to get an army ready to end up fighting him, and we're going to see what's going to happen. Okay. So this is the description of the Mahdi, of what we have. From him being born in Medina, going to Mecca, being not necessarily a person that was dedicated maybe to helping the solving the world's problems, that Allah will change him in one night, and that people will give him oath, and he wouldn't want it, right? Remember, he's not seeking leadership. People say, no, you're the next leader. An army will come from Syria, land will swallow him up. Another army will come from the east, and he will join them. And then it mentioned that he will give a lot of wealth, and then that there was this big battle in Rome, against the Romans at that time, Constantinople, a place called Dabit in Syria, which they will fight. This is what we know about the Mahdi here, if you will. We'll come at a time, we said, when the world will be filled with injustice. Now, there's been a lot of fake Mahdis out there. There's people that name their children Mahdi. Maybe they like the name. I don't they really think their son is going to be Mahdi, right? But even during the time of the Abbasid Empire, one of the leaders will name Mahdi. And his army had what color flags, you think? Black flags. And they thought that was going to be it, but guess what? It didn't happen. And they were in the east. Okay. And there was a lot of people that thought they were the Mahdi, but just didn't work. One of the major ones that we've seen is the events of 79, sorry. Where this person named Juhayman. He was a person that was actually born in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, but a student also with a bunch of other people in Medina. And people said, you know what, his name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Forehead, 20 nose. And there was a group of people, radicals, you know, they get a little hyped up about the religion. And during that time in Saudi Arabia, a lot of Western influence was coming. Drinking, casinos, stuff like this, music. So people are really angry. Like, we need the Mahdi now, right? We need to change this. Look what the world's having. People are losing their Islam. Right? People get really excited, right? But I have to have patience. Let Allah will figure it out. Don't worry. Allah already has it planned out. You just have to kind of go with the flow. Things will fall into its peace. They got this man here. His name was Juhayman. I guess that was his title, but I don't know. I guess the name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, but I guess they also called him Juhayman. And they took him from Medina to Mecca. And it was during the Hajj time, right after the Hajj, there was a lot of people that were there. Not during Hajj itself, but afterwards, a lot of people stay after, from what I understand. And they brought him, and after the Salah, they brought him in. I forgot what prayer was it. I think it was Fajr or some other one. After the Salah was done, they put him in front of the black stone and the Maqam. And they raised up his hand and said, guys, this is the Mahdi. Take it. You guys have to give him allegiance. And they got guns out and they started pointing to everybody. Give him allegiance right now. How do you get guns into the Haram? Have you ever been to Hajj and Umrah? You know what? You get pretty much after every Salah, there's what? Salatul Janazah. Almost every time. So much people passing away, unfortunately, in that area. And so what they did, they brought in coffins and what they put inside the coffins. Not bodies, but guns and grenades and other things. And they got ready and said, you have to take oath. And people are like, what's going on? They didn't know what to do. Saudi army didn't know what to do either. The policemen, you see them there, they don't think they even like have arms or guns. They have sticks maybe or anything out of walkie-talkies. And that's all they did. They're like, They're caught off guard. They took the Kaaba hostage for almost 2 weeks. No salah was done, nothing was done, no tawaf. Everyone's like, we don't know. They know you have to give him a pledge that he is the Mahdi. And that's it. And so what happened is that when Saudi finally, government, army, or the defense trying to find out, okay, what are we doing? What's going on here? We decided, you know, we're going to go in with tanks and army and try to get this guy out of here because he's holding the Kaaba hostage. He wants us, he's saying like this, he is the Mahdi, he's the next one. Everyone has to give him a pledge. Saudi government is like, we're not going to forgive you a pledge. We don't know who you are, right? You're some fanatic. And they had snipers up on the minarets and so forth, and they started shooting down people. Finally, alhamdulillah, they let the women and children out of the Kaaba, and then the men slowly they let out, but they stayed in their army, I think around 500 people or so, stayed in the Kaaba itself. What are they waiting for? What was the hadith? Remember, they're trying to read the hadith and said, this is what's going to happen. What did they say after the Mahdi when people say that this guy's the Mahdi? What was the thing that's going to happen right after that? They said that, what, there's an army coming from Syria. Yeah. So the Saudi forces started coming. Well, they're not coming from Syria. They come from Saudi. So they thought, what was the hadith? That the land will, what, swallow them up. And what happened is that they saw that the land wasn't swallowing them up, and the tanks came right up into the door. And the government and the army came right in. And guess what? The hadith is not working out anymore. Now you're stuck. You thought that was going to happen, but guess what? It didn't work out. What are you going to do now? You have to you're a lose situation now. And one thing about the hadith, it talks about that what? They will say, this guy is the Mahdi, and what would he say? Leave me alone. I'm not the Mahdi. What are you talking about? Why are you picking me for? Right? But he said, no. Totally different. Right? And also, he was from Riyadh. He wasn't from Medina. So things are not even falling into place. Remember, they take the hadith and they're trying to script it, kind of very similar to what ISIS did and other groups out there trying to do, right? Fortunately, there's a big gun battle. Tanks have to go into the Haram, right? There's people getting killed, all type of different things. And finally, they catch him and they catch a bunch of these other guys and they all, you know, hang them and so forth and so forth. Like this. But just kind of tell you that there's people try to, like, you know, hurry up the Day of Judgment, you know, bring the Mahdi. And there's a major group, major religion here in America that's trying to do this also. A lot of Christians, right? With all due respect to them, they have this concept of the rapture, of Jesus coming back. And one of the main signs for them for Jesus to come back is what? That there'll be a state of Israel. There'll be a kingdom for the Jews in Palestine. Now, they don't care too much about the Jews because the Jews rejected Jesus, try to kill him. But they don't care about that. They don't look at that. They say, we'll support Israel so just so we get Jesus to come back. Fanaticism. So they spend a lot of money on supporting Israel just so Jesus can come back faster. They don't care about justice or killing, or the Jews don't even believe in Christians and Christ. But, you know, we'll give you money. Go ahead and make a state because we want Jesus to come back. So this stuff's in a lot of religions. People always look at the signs of the Day of Judgment and they say, what could we do right now to make the Mahdi come, or make Jesus come back, or make this happen? That will never work. Any group that tried to do that in the past failed. Allah will make this happen, right? And one of the signs also, we're going to talk about the Dajjal next week, but the Prophet said that, it's a weak hadith, but it's, you know, there's some wisdom in it. The Prophet said that Dajjal will come at a time when the imams or the people giving khutbah stop talking about the Dajjal. Which makes sense. So people are like, who are you? Dajjal? They'll forget. But if people have all the hadith ready and they all know what to do, then they kind of, you know, they can pick it out a little bit more, right? So the same thing here, like people are trying to take these hadith and they're trying to script something. You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, there's people right now in Santana, like preaching, mm-hmm. and saying like to support Israel and the United mm-hmm. States because the United States is backing up Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to support them with money and prayers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're like all over, you know, with their speakers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
this is, we have,
Huntington Beach also, there's one on the pier in Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
He hands out flyers.
Yeah.
There's a lady that came from the Jewish Voice for Peace. She's Jewish. Not necessarily like practicing, but she's Jewish. But she's anti-Israel. She came here and she spoke. She said one of the biggest organizations you know, Zionist organizations here in America that fund Israel is Christians. It's not really Jews.
Well, I never understand it. I always try to call out people. I mean, it's the so-called, and you hear that a lot, Judeo-Christian culture. Yeah. I mean, that's a total oxymoron. I mean, the Jews, I mean, first of all, a lot of Christians historically over thousands of years were killing Jews in big, I mean, the worst one, of course, the Holocaust, right? And then on the other side, I mean, in the Christian belief, the Jews are the one killing Jesus, betraying and killing Jesus. How can you ever talk about a Judeo-Christian?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Yeah,
you hear it a lot in the politics.
Yeah, right?
Judeo-Christian values. And, what does it mean?
Exactly.
Someone asking that question.
I mean, I didn't really want to go talk about Christianity, but my point I was trying to make it is that how the Muslim we have fractions in our religion that people try to take this hadith and say like, hey, I think this guy's named Muhammad. How much Muhammad ibn Abdullah is in the world? Probably hundreds of people named Muhammad and the dad was Abdullah, right? How many of them are from Medina? Maybe a lot, right? Everyone names their child Muhammad, right? And so that some people say, well, you have a point, you know, let's go, right? Let's go to Mecca. You know, let's see if Allah is going to make this happen, right? You're the Mahdi. Did the land swallow up the army? Oh shoot, it didn't. Oh no, man, what are we going to do now? Let's go back home. We can't do that, you know? And if you do that in the Kaaba, you bring in guns and you stop the Salah, you know, you stop Tawaf, people praying, like, you're not, the Mahdi is someone who's going to love the religion and practice it, not a political thing, you know, not use a religion for political, he's going to be anti-religious, you know, he's going to love Salah, love the Quran. These people stopped Salah, you had a good notion, but look what you did, you end up ruining the religion more. And same thing with, like I said, ISIS and other groups like this, you kind of have to be careful. The last thing I wanted to go over, and we have a couple of more minutes, is the notion of, we have 1 minute, I think Dr. Siddiqui is going to come in a little bit, is the notion of what is the Shia, the sect of the Shia, what they understand is who the Mahdi is. And unfortunately, I don't have a slide here, but I'm just going to talk about it. And I'm not a scholar in Shia-ism, if you will, and understanding all the beliefs. And they have many fractions also, put it that way. Okay. But one of the main things that you'll see that they have this thing about 12 imams. Okay. So Ithna Ashariyah, the 12 imams. And there's a hadith that we see in Bukhari also. The Prophet said that you have 12 khalifas from the Quraysh. Okay. But for them, that only has to be from the Quraysh. It has to be from the Prophet's lineage. Right? That was a big thing. Remember, they didn't want Abu Bakr to be leader. They wanted to be Ali, and they want to be someone with the Prophet's bloodline, like a royal type of blood, if you will, which is not really Islam, right? It's whoever should be the next righteous person should lead. Yes, we have a lot of respect for the Prophet's family. They're highly regarded, but doesn't necessarily have to lead all the time, etc. Right? We'll talk about it a little later. But anyhow, they got up to number 11, and the 12th one was a person named Muhammad ibn Hassan, not Abdullah, an Askari, right? And he was during the time where they were getting kind of persecuted. And like I said, the Muslim, the history after the Prophet passed away gets a little, you know, fuzzy and so forth. And he was around 5 years old or something like this. And they believe he was the 12th Imam, the 12th one. And the Mahdi, if you will. And he was around 5 years old or so. And they said he went into a cave, this place in Samura, I believe it's in Iraq or Iran, I'm forgetting. And he's been there since, I think, 212 or 255 Hijri, which is almost over 1,000 years. And he's been hiding, or Allah has kept him there. And he'll come out when the time is right, let's put it that way. Okay? And he'll lead the Muslims, etc., etc., etc. Same thing, he'll come to the Kaaba. The Shia has a very similar hadith here, where they come to the Kaaba and the people will give him bayah and stuff like this, etc. But their thing is that this person has a different name. And also that his main thing when he comes back is to take, one thing is, bring justice to the world and so forth. But one thing is that they see, they have a lot of literature and talk about him having retribution against Oh.